Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
On a baseball note, O gave it up. He hit a guy. It looked like it hit the handle of the bat. With two outs, and then he gave up just a, oh my God, what a meatball. What a meatball. 7-7 now in the eighth inning, and this is a game where the Rockies led 4-0 in the first off Madison Bumgarner. So you got to find a way. Game's not over, but now it's going to be dramatic. You're getting your money's worth down there at Coors Field. It sounded a little bit like this.
This ball's hit a long way to right, and Hanson just tied it up.
Take it off because the Giants have just hit another home run.
Wow.
So back-to-back home runs.
Wow.
This one,
bottom of the eighth?
This one, a bigger gopher ball than the first one. So with two outs, they have put up three runs. That was a freaking bomb. Look at this meatball. Oh, a non-breaking ball that was served. That had to be at least 450 feet to right center.
Chris Shaw with the home run.
You know, usually you see those home runs go into the bullpen area, and this one went above the bullpen. So the translator is out there now with Chris Iannetta, and I don't know how you say get your shizzle together in Korean, but well, that's a bummer. That's the relief pitching right there. Oh, my goodness. This one's going to sting, but you got two more chances at bat, and let's hope you get out of this inning and you go from there, Al. That being said, football at 4, the captains.
Well, we announced captains today, and we had six guys elected today. On offense, we had Case Keenum and Matt Paradis. On defense, we had Von Miller and Todd Davis. And on special teams, we had McManus and Janovich.
Al, you had the same thought I did. No problem with Case Keenum, no problem with Von Miller. Todd Davis, really? Not Chris Harris, not Pecco, not Wolf. None of those guys.
Two linebackers.
Not Brandon Marshall.
Two linebackers.
Todd Davis. Okay. And then not naming Chris Harris as a captain is interesting. Don't forget, Aqib Talib was a captain. Despite all the problems that he had, he was named a captain. Matt Paradis, who...
Has Chris ever been a captain?
That's a good question. I don't know. Not sure. Not Demaryius Thomas. Not Demaryius Thomas. What do you think that says, Alfred?
It says that maybe Courtland Sutton is going to be a bigger impact than Demaryius Thomas, and you know,
could be.
That's just it.
Tell you that's where I think that's this captain stuff. Like,
yeah, I know.
You know, all the players vote, but nobody's. You know,
yeah, you give it to the coaches and the coaches.
Right. What do you think the players are
the
sitting
coaches
there?
Vote.
Right.
Yeah, the coaches. Right. The coaches vote the captains. Right.
When we heard about how when Trevor Siemian was
captain,
named a captain,
like yeah, right. Break.
So I'm sure, like, for example, I bet you anything Von Miller and Case Keenum were legitimately voted captains.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have any doubts that McManus and Andy Janovich were pretty legitimate. I think not having Demaryius Thomas as a captain is significant, and I think Todd Davis, that one's interesting, too. That one's interesting, too, because I believe those two...
I thought maybe Petco could have been that guy.
Well, I believe those two are appointed by the coaches. And maybe Janovich, too. Maybe Janovich, actually. They're definitely having the Andy Janovich election this training camp, so that could be the case as well. I think the players get to pick one of the captains, and the coaches get to pick the other. And this, to me, signals that DT is closer to being on the way out than on the way in. Of course, Emmanuel Sanders wasn't voted a captain. He'll never be voted a captain of any team he's ever on. That's pretty clear at this point. But Matt Paradis, what does that say, having an offensive lineman as one of your captains on offense, Al?
Says a lot.
Not Ron Leary either, by the way.
Yeah, it says a lot because when your team is operating the right way, it should be your big guys who should be the captains.
Well, think about Matt Paradis for a second. He has played in every single play since he's been with the Broncos. He's a Super Bowl champion. He has been a pull-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps sort of guy. He's very quiet to the media, but he's, you know, he's one of the guys, that sort of thing. I think it says a lot. I think it's good. I always thought Demaryius was an interesting choice for a captain because he doesn't have those natural leadership qualities. But I think we should also keep in mind that the only two players that have not come out for the national anthem this year are Demaryius Thomas and Brandon Marshall. Now, Brandon Marshall wasn't a captain last year, so I don't know. But Demaryius Thomas was. So I don't think that's a coincidence either, Al. I just don't think Demaryius is really in line with Broncos management. And
Whoa. Not with management. Maybe I think that he's not in line with the coaches.
Okay. I don't think he's in line with management or perhaps the coaches. I think
management decided to keep him.
They did. We thought that was a curious decision.
I thought that was a mistake.
Well,
it was a mistake.
They may have some buyer's remorse as well. I think you're going to see a season where Demaryius Thomas's role becomes diminished as the season goes on and Courtland Sutton's rises through the roof. And I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to have a spectacular year.
I think that Emmanuel Sanders is going to be just lights out this year, man. I mean, he has a quarterback who's just going to throw to him in those intermediate windows. And when he's in the slot, he's going to be highly targeted. Look for him to have, you know, maybe as much as 150 targets this year. And that would be saying a lot after not getting that kind of action last year with Trevor Siemian.
All right, here's the Paxton Lynch news. He was cut by the Broncos. VJ talked about him today.
Paxton's gone. So that story's gone with him.
And he cleared waivers, meaning nobody was willing to pick up his existing contract, whatever that happened to be. All 32 teams passed on him. He becomes a free agent, and the first report is he will have a workout with the Buffalo Bills. We learned that Peterman will be the starter for the Bills, not Josh Allen, and they traded McCarron. So I think they're looking at Paxton Lynch as some sort of backup third-string sort of guy under probably a very low type of contract that it won't cost them all that much money. Seems to make sense for the Buffalo Bills, Al.
It does. It does make sense that somebody will work him out to see what they have. When a guy's drafted in the first round, you know that there is talent involved. So I think teams will work him out, but to say that they will bring him onto a roster with no game experience and basically being told no by three offensive coordinators, three separate offensive coordinators said no. Then you just know that something's wrong there. And the one thing about this business and this league is that it's not very big. You know, it's only 32 teams. So teams and coaches talk to each other and they tell each other what the issues may be with the guy. So if a team brings a guy in, it's based on relationships that they have, worked over years, and they know pretty much the storyline when the guy shows up. If he can outperform the storyline, they'll sign him.
We have so much stuff to talk about from over the weekend. If you want to text us, 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. That's the same number if you want to get a hold of us. The Rockies put a runner on first base with no outs, down 8-7 in the bottom of the eighth. They're working it right now at Coors Field against the Giants. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Somebody, you're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right. Well, we got some. That's a ground ball to Sean. Oh, I love it.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't go.
Not Babe Lou. So, the Rockies had a miserable top of the eighth where they gave up three runs and...
Oh, that was a week.
You know what, Al? Whatever. Who cares? Find a spot. Yeah, that's definitely not the hardest hit ball of the day, but... You know what? You put a swing on the ball, you stay aggressive, and good things can happen.
Back up the middle. This will get the job done. And that'll get a green light. He'll come on home. Noel Cuevas gives the Rockies the lead. Welcome back to the big leagues.
I love it. You know, you get the call-ups now. And AT&T Sportsnet on the call. But we know with the Rockies relief situation, you just never know. Although it sets up well for Wade Davis in the ninth, and the Rockies now have a 9-8 lead. They had runners on second and third with one out in the seventh inning, and they just could not produce runs, and that has been an issue for them. So this is a real back-and-forth battle game. It's Tyler Anderson, not Freeland, by the way. I was wrong on that earlier. But it was Madison Bumgarner that got touched up early. Giants came back. The Rockies gave away the cookies. And they battle back. What a fun game for those who are enjoying their Labor Day down at Coors Field today. Love it, man.
There won't be any fireworks tonight, though.
There will not. What an astute point by Alfred Williams right there.
The game would be over
right
in the daytime.
Boy, the crowd would have to wait a long time because I don't think the sun sets till about 7:45. But hey, you never know. You never know. Brilliant point by you, though, Alfred Williams.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stuart Cravens.
I thought he played really well for us last year, Nicky, and obviously having a year in his belt, he's definitely improved, especially at dime. I mean, he wasn't a dime all last year. He wasn't really a dime until the Washington week. So that's been impressive. You know, I mean, he can play that close to the ball in coverage and in a run game and not flinch. That's a hard job for a young safety who's never done it before. So he's been impressive as far as doing that job for us.
Yeah. So I think there's two players on the Broncos who are not really hurt and on IR.
Who?
Troy Fumagalli and Sua Cravens.
Sua Cravens had his knee scoped.
Yeah.
Does a knee scope not mean that you are hurt?
No.
They said they would look for him to be back in 2 months also. Now, I mean, you have the cut.
Yeah.
I mean,
uh-huh.
They want him back. They want him back on the field.
You know what I think they want? They want to know that he really wants to play football. Maybe I'll just leave it there.
Well, he's on injury reserve.
It's a curious situation where you play in a game, and then you decide to get your knee scoped. That's always a curious situation, Alfred.
Well, look at it. When somebody says that they have to have surgery, then surgery supersedes everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, he certainly had surgery there before. There's a reason they kept five guys, and then they announced Sua Cravens goes on IR, and then they brought back Isaiah McKenzie. That's the order in which things happen, by the way.
Yep.
It wasn't Sua Cravens is going on IR. No. It was... We're taking five safeties. We cut Isaiah McKenzie. Oh, now Sua Cravens is going to go on IR, and we're going to bring back Isaiah McKenzie. Yeah, Sua Cravens, listen, man, he had some issues in Washington. We heard all sorts of rumors about, you know, stuff in Washington, and you take a risk when you bring in guys that have been jettisoned by other teams. There's reasons why other teams don't want him anymore. And it's not
well, we don't know that. We don't know that. We just know that the Redskins were willing to trade him.
Okay. I'm not going to go semantics with you on that.
No, I'm just saying he was not cut.
Okay. I didn't say he was cut. I said they didn't want him.
He was traded.
They didn't want him. Are you going to give me that or not?
I'll give you that. Yeah, okay. They didn't want him, but that doesn't mean that other teams didn't want him either.
I didn't say that either. Okay. I said they didn't want him.
And the Redskins didn't want him.
Whenever a team doesn't want you, you're right to just sort of raise an eyebrow a little bit, and you should not be surprised if another team doesn't want a player that there's something else going on with that player. You should not... Listen, I'll definitely have some raised eyebrows about Kevin Hogan with the Redskins. Like, why didn't he make the Redskins?
Why did the Bears trade for Khalil Mack? What was wrong in Oakland?
Money, period.
Clear. So is that enough?
Yeah.
Okay, so
sure.
It's not always there's something up. It's just the teams don't agree with their course of doing business.
People don't want you for all sorts of reasons.
Right.
But money wasn't the reason why the Redskins tapped out on Sue Cravens.
Yeah, they thought he quit on him.
That's right. And now after playing in a game, now he's getting his knee scoped, and we'll see. Hey, good for DeMonte Thomas. You know, Al, when somebody can't participate in something and somebody's stepping up, good for them. You'd rather have somebody who's all in, right? And we really don't know what to make of Sue Cravens. We haven't really seen him. We don't know. It was a curious move, though. What a day for Isaiah McKenzie. To think about that for a second. You get cut. They probably were going to try to bring him back. I think they did. Did they sign Isaiah to the practice squad? They did, right? They didn't?
Isaiah's part of the 53.
No. I'm losing you here. He was cut.
Yes.
Right? And before he was brought on the 53, was he signed to the practice squad first? No. Okay. So he's let go. I bet you they talked to him about being on the practice squad. And they probably had to keep him on the roster because somebody else may have signed up Isaiah McKenzie, you know?
But once the waiver is done, then you can't rescind. So you would have had to go through waivers.
You could if he was, he would have had gone through waivers, but he would have had to been signed to a 53. So I get your point. Nobody really wanted him to be on the 53. Good point. And then you're a free agent. You can whatever. And then he gets back on the 53. What a process, right? You're cut. Nobody wants you. Oh, come back on the Broncos, where we just signed a veteran to do your job. And I guess something still could happen this week. I guess you could let go of Pac-Man Jones before the game starts, right? And you wouldn't have to pay him his money, right? That money's not guaranteed to him until the game happens. To me, it was a curious situation, Al. Like, why keep Isaiah McKenzie? What's the point? Unless you don't feel so great about Pac-Man Jones, which is reasonable.
Isaiah McKenzie showed well in the preseason. He could be a difference maker. He could
as
be
a what?
As a returner.
Well, then why is Pac-Man Jones on the team?
To compete, just to make sure that was a deal that you know, they had to secure because they didn't understand what was going on at their cornerback position
today,
the number three guy.
Well, he's not the number three guy.
I know
BJ
he's not.
Said today.
I know, but I'm just saying, but remember now, a number three guy didn't even play until week four of the preseason.
I got it, but Pac-Man Jones ain't going to be the number three guy.
Not now.
Well, so if he's not going to be the number three guy, and you brought back Isaiah McKenzie, what's going on there with Pac-Man Jones?
I think that they're going to work him in. I mean, he's been here 1 week, D-Mac.
No, I understand, but it was... Hold on. You weren't kind of confused by the Isaiah McKenzie signing back to the 53?
I thought Isaiah McKenzie... I thought he actually showed pretty good. But we had two other guys on this team that could do his job. And it was a little bit surprising. Because Philip Lindsay can be our punt returner as well as Adam Jones. So when you look at it, you know, you go, okay, well, maybe they really like him and his versatility as a receiver and the quick stuff. You know, I don't know how else you can put it, but.
Well, I just think they're not completely sold on Adam Jones at this point.
Well,
not completely.
They're sold on him. You know, Tremaine Brock did not play until the fourth preseason. That was a nerve-wracking situation. And you see what they did. They cut their third-round pick from last year.
Langley. Yeah.
And because he can't play. So Adam Jones is on this team because he can play.
As the fourth cornerback and maybe the punt returner. It's definitely not a ringing endorsement of Adam Jones today.
I would say that...
I mean, it's right. We'll see.
I'm saying that he'll see the field before Yadam does.
Oh, I don't know. As the fourth corner?
Whatever.
Well.
But if anything happens to any one of those three corners that are in front, we feel good about the fourth corner. I mean, Tremaine, I had no idea Tremaine Brock was going to be ready or not. So to bring in Adam Jones, you brought him in for cornerback.
No, I don't think so.
You brought him in for cornerback.
I don't think so.
Look who they cut. Look who they cut. They brought him in for corner.
Yeah, they cut Langley, who can't play. And they should never have drafted anyway.
They brought in a guy who can play for a guy who couldn't play.
No, I think he's here to be the punt returner, if anything. But then you sign Isaiah. Anyways, we'll see. It'll play itself out. But it definitely was filled with drama. Never mind the Paxton Lynch, Kevin Hogan situation. We'll dig into that next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
What a day at Coors Field. Nice call by Drew on AT&T Sportsnet. Thank you guys for broadcasting the game, man. That's awesome. I'm sure you made picnics and barbecues and everything on Labor Day a little bit smoother out there for people who want to grill out and chill out and watch the Rockies win. Nice crowd down at Coors Field. And your Rockies trying to make up ground on the Dodgers, Alfred. The stupid Dodgers. Who've crawled back into first place. But nice win today after giving up three runs in the eighth. Top of the eighth. And then to battle back, Noel Cuevas, who gets called up as they expand the rosters now. We're in September, Al. Gets a huge clutch base hit with runners on second and third. So now the Rockies right now, at this second, are tied with the Los Angeles Dodgers for first place. Both teams 75 and 62. Woo!
That's great.
The Diamondbacks are 74 and 63, and the Giants 68 and 71. Love it! Love it, love it, love it, love it. Way to go, Rockies. Tied with the Dodgers. Dodgers take on the Mets later tonight, and then we shall see the Dodgers for a three-game set on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. After that, Arizona. The truth will be told from September 7th through September 13th. So, way to go. Way to get this win against San Francisco. Let's get one more. I mean, I'd love to take a sweep, but one more gets the series and sets you up nicely for the Dodgers and then Diamondbacks. Nice job, Rockies. Way to get it done. That's what I'm talking about, Al. That's some mental toughness right there. You got a pretty big lead. You led 4-0. You led 7-2. And then you were down late. And you had the cojones to battle back, fight back. You get a pinch hit by Cuevas, who hasn't really been with the team all year. Chris Iannetta hit a bomb that glanced off the glass that they put up there in right center to stop home runs. Stopped him. Ian Desmond led off the inning with a big base hit. You're getting contributions all over the place. All right, O.
Hell yeah!
O didn't have a great outing today, no doubt about it. But Wade Davis did. Wade Davis did.
He was money. I mean, that last pitch was outstanding.
Outstanding. 3-2, off-speed inside pitch to Nick Hundley. Froze him up like the Iceman from Netherland. Frozen dead guy, Nick Hundley. Trevor Story with a big day, two home runs, five ribbies. He's having a heck of a year. Just love it. Love this team. Love watching them. Love to see what they're all about here. Can they do it? Can we win the NL West for the first time ever? Why not? Oh, you know, I shouldn't say that. Not the why not us thing, right?
That's not good. We never want to do that.
What was the Broncos thing they said? You know? Was it why not us?
That was the ass.
Why not us? What was the Broncos things? We're good enough. We believe in ourselves. It was something like that.
We can do
this. That's right. We can do this. We can do this. Oh no, we suck again.
We can do this.
We can do this. They sound like an extra from The Water Boy. We can do this.
Oh, no. We suck again.
Trey Rank will join us in just a little bit. We're trying. We'll see if we can track down one of the heroes from the game today. We'll see. If so, great. If not, no big deal. We're with you, Rockies. We're fixing to find out.
Where did Jeff Holland end up?
Practice squad.
For us.
Yeah, for us, yeah.
Nice. That is a very, 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 very good pickup. I thought he wasn't going to make it, and he was going to be taken by somebody.
Nope.
That's a mistake. Somebody should have taken him.
Not one person, not one player released by the Broncos was picked up on waivers. Nobody. Nobody the Broncos released was picked up on a 53 anywhere else.
How about the depth chart, though? One position where I told you that they were not gonna risk it is at middle linebacker for AJ Johnson. Made the active roster. How about that, man?
Yeah, I think that's a terrible mistake, but you know, okay, whatever.
I told you that he...
Is it about now, or is it about the future?
Oh, this is about next year. This is about
Why do we have a player on our team
because
who's about the future when it's supposedly about being about now?
Well,
It's inconsistent.
Why is Josie Jewell on the team? He's not going to play this year.
He's going to play a ton this year.
And so will A.J. Johnson.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will. He'll be on every special team. Guaranteed he'll be on every special team.
I bet he's deactivated for 13 out of the 16 games.
Mm.
What kind of dinner you want to put on that?
Deactivated 13 out of 16 games.
Something like that.
Mm. Yeah, you're probably right. The first four games he'll be deactivated till they get him in Bronco.
Dude. They were afraid he was going to get signed.
That's right. Lauren Landau will have to work with him for another couple weeks to get him in shape.
Alexander Johnson is the 53rd guy. Oh, yes. Vance Joseph said it.
No. The 53rd guy.
VJ literally said it over the weekend.
The 53rd guy was Isaiah McKenzie.
Oh.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Isaiah was really the 54th guy because, well, I'll tell you how it happens. You weren't paying attention over the weekend, right?
Sure I was.
Okay, so what did it come down to? What were the three players it came down to?
You weren't
paying attention.
I was. I talked to you yesterday. Well, I listened to the station all
day. What were the three guys that it came down to for the 53rd spot?
I forget. Who was it?
It came down to D'Angelo Henderson, Isaiah McKenzie,
right,
and A.J. Johnson. And they took A.J.
Johnson is the guy. And I told you they were going to take him Friday before we left.
Fine, but he's the 53rd guy. Sua Cravens, they weren't feeling great about. He makes the team. And then they find out he's got to get his knee scoped, which is a huge eye roll to me. And then they added Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie really is the 54th guy.
He's actually the 53rd.
Oh, my Lord. Do you not follow my logic here?
No, because you're saying something that is not correct. He's the 53rd
guy. He's behind Johnson.
Yeah, he is, which makes him 53rd.
When they had to decide on 53 guys, A.J. Johnson was the last guy they kept. They kept five safeties because they probably realized we still want to keep Sua Cravens, but he's got to make the team in order for us to put him on IR so we can stash him. That's what they did.
Oh, maybe. You know what? Now that I think about it, this is a good strategy. Hey, this is a good strategy. Let's put the guy out there that has the least exposure to be picked up in Isaiah McKenzie, and then we know that he'll probably make it through waivers. And then
to roll the dice.
Right. Isaiah McKenzie was going to be part of this team.
If you want to call Isaiah the 53rd guy, fine. Because what you want to say
he's the 53rd guy.
We're going to roll the dice. If he's the 53rd guy, A.J. Johnson's the 52nd guy.
Okay.
And Sua Cravens is, I don't know.
Cravens they wanted to keep because he showed well.
They're playing games a little bit here. They're playing some games. And Sua Cravens is an interesting dude, and I don't know if he'll ever take the field for the Broncos in any capacity. We'll see. The A.J. Johnson thing, though, the guy, you're keeping six inside linebackers, Al. Who's going to play?
Well, don't forget now, this is the last big year on that payday for Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, no kidding. He's gone after this year.
Yep.
But, I mean, we've never talked about Joe Jones. He made the team. the 53, inside linebacker, Joe Jones. We haven't mentioned his name once. We've barely mentioned Keyshawn Bierra, who's draft pick.
Right, right.
He's ahead of, A.J. Johnson. You keep him, you get rid of him. I don't care. I don't really care what you do with the 52nd or 53rd guys, because these guys get cut and released and added, and it happens all the time. The roster is ever-changing with those type of guys. So who cares? I'm confused by Isaiah McKenzie. By the way, I don't even see Adam Jones on this depth chart on the Broncos website. Am I missing something?
What do you mean you don't see him?
It's old? How old is it? It's got...
I don't know. It still has Devontae Booker as a starting running back.
Yeah?
He's not the starting running back.
If it's old, where's Paxton Lynch on here? Well, Kevin Hogan, it's a little bit old because Kevin Hogan's not on here. But how old is it? Paxton Lynch is not on here. Is somebody just terrible at DenverBroncos.com?
I don't know, because I have yet...
Well, I guess, you know what?
Since I got in the building today, I have yet to see an updated depth chart for the Broncos posted online. Anyway.
Right, but there's just somebody who... There's some 20-something who really doesn't know what he's doing. But Adam Jones has been here for a chunk of time.
Do your job!
And isn't even...
And quit making up!
I mean, whatever pimply-faced, graduate from the University of Florida is running DenverBroncos.com, you're not very good.
Sure, you didn't want to say Syracuse there, right?
We had an intern with the Broncos from Syracuse. She got it right every time. When we come back, Troy Rank will join us. Hang on.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Paxton's gone. So that story's gone with him. We have a big game on Sunday. We have three quarterbacks in our house that we feel good about. But Paxton, that's gone. That story should be gone with him. I wish him well. He deserved that.
Troy Rank, Denver 7 Broncos insider, brought to you by Trenny Law Offices. If you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI, contact the Trenny Law Offices at 303-333-1860. I got it, Big Sexy. I got it. Sometimes I just have a slow delivery. 303-333-1816.
Paxton's gone.
Troy Rank. Hi, Troy. How are you?
Doing fantastic. D-Mac, how are you?
Super duper. And we watched the Rockies get a nice win today, although that was hair-raising. And we're told today by Vance Joseph, Paxton's gone. That story's yesterday. Just moving on. What do you think about that?
I mean, I embrace it. I mean, to me, the fascination with this story for a guy who was never going to contribute this year was just, I was over it. I mean, I wish him well, too, but ding dong, the Lynch is dead. Move on. I mean, it was so obvious to anyone throughout here it was never going to happen here. It was never, ever going to work out here. So they've moved on, and now we can focus on games that count, games that matter, and guys who are actually going to play in those games.
You know, the roster as it's constructed right now is a grown-up's roster. It's a roster that says that, okay, we've made some mistakes, we've moved on. And to see Carlos Henderson gone and also Langley gone from a draft class of last year, it says that this organization is about having the best players possible. This is an improvement, if you ask me, to past rosters in on opening day.
Well, they had to change how they looked at the draft. Well, you guys have talked about it on your show. This year they went after guys who had a lot of experience, leadership, who were captains, who you knew you could accelerate their development, get them on the field more quickly. Basically, D-Mac knows this, they got away from kind of the showcase player in baseball. The guy that looks great off a tee, and then you put him in a game against a curveball, and his knees turn to jello.
Right.
And they got away from that guy. Oh, he's an athlete; he'll just figure it out. Well, sometimes when you say that, they never figure it out. And I agree, Al, that it's an indictment of the 2017 draft class, obviously, but it also is, hey, we think we've turned the corner in the draft, and these young guys we got this year are more deserving. And so, I couldn't agree more that it was time to move on from multiple guys. I talked to guys in the locker room today, and I was told by several players they just feel like the mentality of this team is better. And what that'll translate to, I don't know, but They just feel like, you know, it fits. The pieces fit better. Last year there was a disconnect, you know, obviously at the end of the season, but they just, it senses that, to your point, Al, that grown-up roster, like, the guys earned their way here. And if you kept Lynch, that's a tough one to say he earned his way here. And now you look at the roster and go, look around and say, we kind of, you know, all these guys deserve to be here.
By the way, Carlos Henderson and Brent Langley are both on practice squad, although correct. Henderson is on the practice squad suspended list. What does that mean? Does that mean the suspension goes away after the first game of the season, or does he have to be activated and then take a suspension for a real NFL game?
No, he needs to sit out the first game. He's suspended for the first game, but when he violated the personal conduct policy in the offseason.
So being on practice squad counts for the first game?
He is not technically on the practice squad right now. He will be added after the first game because he's suspended.
Okay.
He's on the suspended list, so it's kind of a procedural thing. He'll be officially added to the practice squad after the Seahawks game.
All right, so somebody on the practice squad is going to be cut when he comes back after the first game. And
correct.
The Broncos...
Well, again, Isaiah McKenzie could be gone after one game because I think they're going to bring back safety Shamarco Thomas. He didn't make the team in part because they didn't want to guarantee a salary. They think they're covered for this week, but I would not be surprised at all if Shamarco Thomas shows up after the Seahawks game.
It's funny how they move guys around just to make sure the insider view of making an NFL roster is really interesting. I wish we had time to do a whole day on it because there's so many little tweaks to the roster that is happening right now that when guys like us who understand what's going on, it's just really amazing. But it's really very tedious to get through all of those. Different roster moves, like putting guys on injured reserve and hoping that, you know, they can keep them for another year without exposing them to the rest of the league.
Yeah, I mean, this time it gets tricky, as you know, Al. You know, that guy like Sue Cravens, you know, you hope you get him back after a couple months. He's going to have knee surgery. He's on the IR, and he could still designate to return. But some guy, and I talked to Jordan Taylor today, he's hopeful he could return. Some teams, again, put him on season-ending IR, a guy to keep him for the next year where he's not exposed to waivers. It is the procedural part of the NFL is very odd at times, too. But there, I would just say this, looking at the way this roster was put together, there's clearly more talent than at this time a year ago. I don't know what that's all going to mean. But offensively, especially, these young guys between Sutton, Hamilton, Freeman, you know, I could put Jake Butt in that category. They have a chance to be so much better offensively. I'm intrigued.
Why was Demaryius Thomas not voted chosen as a captain after being a captain multiple years in a row?
You know, I ask players about that. I mean, they respect him. That hasn't changed. He plays hurt, shows up every day. He mentors young players. It's a voting process is all I can tell you because I was giving Paradis a hard time about, geez, did you break into the ballot box? You know, how many times did you vote? And he's a guy that's respected. And Paradis, he calls all the signals. And why is Thomas not a captain? Why is Chris Harris not a defensive captain? Why is Brandon Marshall not a defensive captain?
Why aren't they? Those are good questions, too.
It's teammates. I mean,
are you sure?
Well, again, I know you've speculated that it's coaches. I just know they tell us it's teammates, and I ask the guys, and they say they do vote. I don't go around and tabulate all 53 votes. I just know that there wasn't a lot of eye rolling, like, oh, my. But this team has 9 to 10 guys who could be captains, and I would put Harris, Marshall, and Demaryius on the top of that list. But I don't have issue with their captains, the guys they chose.
I got you, but I'm just raising an eyebrow to a guy who's been a captain and now isn't. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the change? What happened? You know,
they lose leadership in a year,
right? Like, you know, what are they really trying to say here? Because I simply don't believe. I think some of the guys are voted on, but I think some of the guys who are named captains are named captains. I don't believe it's all just for a vote, and I would look at this as maybe a changing of the guard or at least how they want to perceive the offense. I think there's more to it. I'm a little conspiracy theory here, I guess, Troy.
Right. I know Vance, when he said about Case Keenum, he said, you know, the players voted and it wasn't even close.
I believe that. I believe
Keenum
that.
Got it. For Paradis and Demaryius, maybe they, you know, a bunch of guys split votes. I don't know. I mean, they don't have a lot of veteran guys on that. So, but Paradis and DT would certainly be in that conversation as guys that would fit that captain mode. So it is clear, though, that they're getting younger and things are changing. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think that's a good thing. You know, leadership to me, whether you're a captain or not, is reflected in how you go about your job every day and you're accountable. Demaryius Thomas will still do that, in my opinion.
It's just not lost.
Chris Harris does it.
It's just not lost on me. Two guys who are senior leaders, veterans, incredible skills, previous captains, but are protesting the national or protesting during the national anthem, are not named captains this year. That is
How can they be on the field?
That is not. Well, it's not lost on me. It's not lost on me.
It's interesting. I will say this: that it's not an issue among the players. Whether you're saying it's above them, that's an interesting theory on your part. But the players aren't talking about that. I can guarantee you, that is not an issue in their locker room right now. At least the guys I've talked to, I can only say on the people I've talked to, that hasn't come up once that, oh, they can't be a captain because of that.
It'd be an interesting question to ask Demaryius, in my opinion.
I didn't see him today because we were in there, but I mean, we were trying to get Freeman. I wanted to talk to Adam Jones about wearing 24, talk to Lindsey. So, I mean, Demaryius, I'm sure, was in there. I just did not have a chance to talk to him short amount of time.
You know, it's a little bizarre because he's the second highest paid player on the offensive side of the ball. So you would think that the two highest paid guys on both sides of the ball mean a lot to the organization. Those naturally should be your captains.
You would think. And it would surprise me if Brandon Marshall or Demaryius Thomas was on this team next year. That being said.
There's going to be changes next year. I mean, you don't have to look that far into the future to know this could be the last season for both because of age, because of salary, and because of guys at their position. I mean, it would be multiple factors when you look at how they've drafted, whether it's Josie Jewell at Brandon's position, whether it's Sutton and Hamilton coming in. I mean, it doesn't take much to look ahead and go, man, this could be, you can see the end for veterans the way this roster is trending.
All right, good stuff, Troy. Nice win by the Rockies. Did you catch that at all?
Yeah, we were watching it here in the press room. Not all of it because we were busy in the locker room doing stuff. But, I mean, you got to get that one. I mean, you fall behind.
Must win.
You score nine and lose. That would have been awful.
Yep. Great stuff. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right. Troy Rank. In terms of Paxton Lynch, Mark Schlereth has some thoughts about the Paxton Lynch legacy.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
All right, so Mike gave me an assignment on Paxton's legacy as a Denver Bronco. Like, I always get weird about legacy. Like, we like to give the legacy of Aaron Rodgers before Aaron Rodgers is retired, right? He still has plenty of chance to go on a run and put together more championships. You know, if he doesn't win more than one championship, well, let's let him finish out before we assign a legacy to him. But now that Paxton's gone, we can actually look at Paxton's legacy as a Bronco, arguably the biggest bust in Broncos history. And I think that's fair because it's the most recognizable position, the quarterback position. And he was touted as being one of the most talented guys we've ever seen come out. Although they did say it was going to be a 2 to 3 year process to get him up to speed. But the bottom line with a guy like Paxton Lynch is that you look at the overall potential. And the problem is we saw the talent. The talent just dripped off of him with arm and speed and athleticism and size and all those things. It dripped off him. But he could never put the mental aspect of the game with that talent. And so I think as a fan base, we look at it and say to ourselves, what a waste.
He's not getting his cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.